You have questions. Find your answers at starspsychics.com.
Hello, I'm Natalie, owner of starspsychics.com. I am dedicated to providing affordable access to spiritual advisors. Here are two satisfied clients who will tell you what it's like to work with me.
Quoting Jackie.
It's a comfortable site. Everybody is so friendly. They treat you like family.
Barb added this about Natalie.
She's a kind and caring person who gives accurate readings.
You have questions? Find your answers today at starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Hello, everyone. This is Starscast, also known as Natalie, and we're on earlier today because my guest is in the UK. And, of course, you know, I don't mind doing shows. I mean, I have somebody coming down, like I said, I think in, when is it going to be, in July? I have to do him at 1 o'clock in the afternoon because he's like 9 hours away. So this is good. I mean, I enjoy this. But anyways, I want to first talk about the magazine. This is already May 27th. I've got stuff coming in, you know, poetry, excerpts, articles, press releases. If you have anything you want to send to me, I welcome it. Just send me an image with it, because people like to see images with stuff. They don't just like to read. It's kind of like reading a book, and this is not a book. This is an e-zine, and you send it to StarsCast, StarsCast, at mysticlivingtoday.com, and I will receive it. And then once it's in, I'll start probably the 29th of this month. In a couple days, I'll start putting it up. Depends on how big it is. I mean, sometimes I get 3 and 4 pieces of material from one publicist, or an author will send me 2 articles or whatever, and I have never refused anything yet. I will work. I will burn the midnight oil to get it done, and sometimes if it comes in late on the first, I'll still do it then. And then I want to remind you about starswithazpsychics.com. You heard the little ad about it. That's my other site, and of course I have planetstarswithaz.com. I've got all these stars around me, don't I, with a Z. And of course my name has a Z in it. And that was the first thing that was brought from the universe, was StarsCast. It's not like the DirecTV station. This is different. It's got a drop-down Z, and it's kind of nice, and I love it. And actually, I'm going to give you a little background. I had a webmaster then. I'm the one who chose the name. He said, okay, you know, I already had StarsCast when I worked for America Online, and he said, well, what do you want to call the site? And I was thinking, and I said, you know, I was an astrologer. I started off as an astrologer, and of course you think of the stars, but I didn't want it to be, you know, STARS. I thought, it's kind of boring. So I said, what about a Z? Well, he loved it, and that's how it all began. And same thing. Well, Planet Stars was first, then Mystic Living Today, and then Stars with a Z, psychics.com. I don't think I'm doing another site. You never know. You just never know with me. Natalie's always got the wheels turning and all these kinds of ideas. But anyways, that's enough about me. I want to bring in my beautiful guest. Her and I already talked a little bit yesterday. Because we wanted to test. She's calling in via Skype, and it's wonderful. If you have paid Skype, you can call anybody, you know. So let me bring in, her name is Rena Kumarasingham, and she is a coach. She does past life regression. She has authored these beautiful books, and we're going to talk about it. And I can't wait. Rena, how are you today?
Hi, Natalie. I'm really good. I'm so excited to be part of your show. Thank you so much for having me on.
Excited. My pleasure. Rena and I have exchanged emails I don't know how long, and I'm sure I was introduced to you by your publicist, the two of us just took off writing to each other. That was it. Sometimes
we
that happens,
did.
I think. Sometimes you have this instant rapport, even though you don't meet the person, it's just an email. And and we would send these beautiful emails to each other, how much we already loved each other, and that's the beauty of what I do and bringing Rena on. Okay, so let's start from the very beginning, Rena. How in the world did you get your feet wet in the world of the literary? How did you begin? Were you really young?
In the world of literary, yes. Oh, my goodness. When I was I'm an only child. And so my whole childhood was buried in books. I loved reading. I read everything. And what it did, what I really enjoyed about books was that they took me to a different world that made me forget where I was and who I was. So because I was an only child, my books were my friends, my companions. And that's basically how I got into the literary world. And ever since I was a young child, my dream was always to be a published author. Of course, when I was a young child, I didn't realize that I would, you know, be writing in the area of past life regression and the topic that, you know, my books cover at this time. But yeah, so it's funny how life sort of pans out for you, but that's how I got into it.
You know, you said you were an only child, so was I. And believe it or not, yes, but listen, the similarities. I had friends, but oftentimes the two girlfriends, little girlfriends that I had, would go off with with each other. They would do their own. They wouldn't come and get me. But what I did was I read, just like you.
Oh.
I wonder if a lot of children that are only children, the only one in the family, if they do a lot of that. And it took me into another world too. You become a part of the story somehow.
That's right.
It's not necessarily fantasy, but you do. And if I didn't read, I was listening to music.
Yeah.
I was watching things on television, but television is not like it is today. My goodness, you could learn so much on television. I have Planet Earth I watch. Oh, I have National Geographic. I watch all that stuff, National Geographic. I'm a great lover of animals. And I think, isn't that strange? You see, that's why we hit it off. That's another reason why we connected so well, because we understood each other, I guess, without even knowing. Being an only child is not that simple. Sometimes you have to really occupy your time.
Exactly.
And were you home alone a lot, too, like me?
Well, my father worked very long hours, but my mother was a housewife. But when I was, I think until I got to what you would call high school, for us was secondary school, until I was 13, I was more of a loner in school.
Me too.
And, so my entire life I was buried in books. But then when I changed schools, when I went to high school, I made some really, really close friends that, you know, I'm still really close with to this day. So, And I was still reading. I really enjoyed. I really enjoyed learning about things through the books. I really enjoyed getting into the world, getting into people's psyche, getting into the emotions of the characters.
Uh-huh.
And so
you know, it's
think,
it's strange. Some people really like to read. Others don't. They think it's boring. Not you and not myself. I read to my granddaughter. She loves when I read to her. And and I said, why? She's every summer I'll read books to her because she's, of course, now she's got the time off, but she's just done with school. So she's going to be here a little bit next week. But I said to her, why? She said, because you do the dialogue. You go up and down. It's not like, you know, you're not, it's like you're the character, she said.
Right.
I had to read a book last summer for her. 2 days it took me to read this book. And she was falling asleep. She said, this is so great. I said, well, don't fall asleep. You got to write a report on it. She says, oh, no, but I'm listening. She says, she said, I was mesmerizing to her. She just loved to hear my voice. Isn't that wonderful? But
it
I'm
is
like
wonderful.
You, I get a lot of books, you know, sent to me from publicists, but I don't, I read them, but I watch more, like I said, National Geographic, Planet Earth, stuff like that on television.
Yeah.
I love learning about the world.
Yeah.
There's another program called Unearthed. It talks about all the lands, you know, Egypt, anything you want to learn about, it's on there. And, I mean, I have everything recorded. I record everything because I want to watch it, and that's how you learn.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it's better than being in a classroom. And right. But it's really, it's wonderful that you read and I read, and look where we are right now. Okay, so you wanted to be a published author. So
yes.
What happened after that when you were in high school?
Well, when I was in high school, so I think, so basically I grew up in Malaysia, and I also grew up a Hindu. So, and the reason why I'm talking about this is because within Hinduism, past life regression is a norm. So I grew
yes.
up thinking and knowing and believing that, you know, past lives and reincarnation was a fact of life, if that
How
makes
wonderful.
Any sense. Yes, and but when I went to high school, then, you know, I started, and I got my really close friends, like one of my close friends, she is a Catholic. And, you know, we would talk about the different ideas. And we were very open with sharing what our beliefs were. And, you know, we were very accepting. And that was the first time I realized that not everybody thought that past lives were real.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. They'll look at you like you're nuts. They'll think, okay.
Yeah.
And what were you before? Well, I was probably something very similar to what I am right now.
Exactly.
And we'll talk about that, what you think about past lives. This is wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, so you
yeah.
learned that from a really young age.
I did.
You know,
yeah.
I'm Catholic.
I
believe in past lives. I didn't always, though. I mean, it wasn't until
right.
I want to say I could think for myself. I mean, I wasn't
right.
brainwashed. But when you're raised as a Catholic and your friend might tell you, it's like
yeah.
their way. I mean,
exactly.
the put in your brain, this is it. This is what happened,
yes.
blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
But when
yes.
you get a little older, and if you can start thinking for yourself, and you get acquainted with different kinds of modes of spirituality, I want to say, you feel, oh, you know, there's something to this. I think there's something to
yes.
it.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
So, okay, yeah. so you did that, and
yeah.
That was part of your growing up. I mean,
that was
just part of you, learning all about
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And you realized it was real, and you probably studied
yes.
it also, right?
Well, my parents were very, they were Sai Baba devotees. Do you know who Sai Baba is?
I've heard the name, but I don't know what it is. No, not, I've heard
okay.
the.
Okay. All right, okay. So, I mean, they are still Hindus. I would say
okay.
right now I'm an everything. You know what I mean? And so they are Sai Baba devotees as well. And Sai Baba was this, I don't know what you, they believe he is God incarnated on earth. Some people think
okay.
he's a saint. You know, some
he's
people believe he is a man.
I don't want to say an entity,
teacher.
But.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
he's
a spiritual teacher. So it depends on what your belief is with him. And so I used to go for what we call Balvi classes, where it's like a Sai Baba Center type classes. So it's like, I would equate it to Sunday school for people who believe in Sai Baba. That makes sense?
No, it does. I went
yes.
to catechism. That's from the Catholics.
Right.
So you see?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, my friend went to catechism as well, so we would talk about things. So we would learn about, you know, Hinduism. We would learn mantras, things like that. And so I think I was in high school when I realized that what I wanted to learn in university is psychology, because I really wanted to work with people. I wanted to work with people therapeutically. And so that's the goal I had set for myself in high school. And then I went to university in Australia, and I studied psychology. But when I graduated in psychology at the age of 21, I didn't feel I was ready to serve in that capacity. I felt like I needed more life experience to help people. So then I did like a master's in business administration, and I ended up working in the media industry in public relations for about 10 years in Asia Pacific. And it was, I think, at the end of the 10 years, towards the end of the 10 years, I got really bored with public relations.
That doesn't surprise me.
Exactly. I think my soul was going knock, knock, you know.
Yeah, what in the world are you doing? What are you doing? Yes, exactly.
Exactly. And so I was talking to like a public relations mentor, and he said to me, he said, Rina, if you are bored doing public relations in the media industry, which is a really fast-paced industry, you're just bored of public relations. Get out of it. And so I thought, all right, I'm gonna try this out now. You know, maybe I'll go back to the whole therapy healing thing. And I did like a year of NLP just to wet my toes a little bit to see if I'm still interested in the whole area. And I realized I was. And then, and I was in Singapore at this time. Then I found this workshop. This advertisement for a workshop run by an academy called the Past Life Regression Academy. And when I read their program, it was perfect because what they did was they combined psychotherapeutic techniques with past life regression, you know? And I thought, yep, that's it. And my soul started to sing. My heart started to sing. And I thought, that's it.
The divine was up there saying, well, it's about time. We had to kind of shake her up. Now she's where she's supposed to be. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, it is.
You got to look at it like that. You really do. And that has to do with guidance and spirituality, because you're just a strong believer like I am. You just had different training. I mean, I was probably, I don't want to say Catholicism was brainwashing, but it was kind of, You know, Rina, I would be in the church, and I've said this before, and I was like in high school, like ninth grade.
Right.
And I had to go every day to get a ride to high school. So we went to Mass every morning. And I finally started looking around thinking, what is all this gold in this church? Why do they have all of these adornments, you want to call them, right?
Right.
And I thought to myself, well, I don't have to be here to pray.
No.
I started questioning it at ninth grade because I knew, well, I don't know if I knew, but I probably got beamed on the head too, shaking me up. Think. It's not bad. It does give you direction. It gives you discipline because you have to do something at a particular time and all of that. So it is good. It's just like going to school. My granddaughter will say, well, why do I have to go to school? I said, because you take responsibility, and it gives you discipline. I have to do
this.
That's right. So it prepares you for the world.
Yes, it does.
Some of us get prepared easier, some of us don't. But yeah, that's what I felt. But after that, I mean, you know, that you know from your Catholic friend that you make your sacraments. But then that was basically it. I always thought, this is not right. I was like out of the box with it or something. And nobody talked to me about it either. It just came from within. But I think it was probably the divine beating me on the head, saying, well, it's about time now. She's going to seek out something else, right?
Yes, exactly right. Wow.
So then from then, what happened to you?
So then, the teacher of the Past Life Regression Academy, we had a very strong connection in the first course, the first module. Anyway, long story short, I ended up marrying him.
Oh,
so
okay.
I married my teacher, yeah.
That happens. I mean, okay.
I know, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but we had a really strong connection, and we have so many shared values as well. So, you know, it was really very interesting because he's English and, you know, I'm Malaysian. But we met, we clicked, and it was like a warm embrace. if that makes any sense. Like we fit together really well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and you know from all the meetings of people, and sometimes there's a connection even if you don't meet them. I mean, you can see somebody and there's something there.
Yeah.
You know, you start to question, well, what is this? Why am I drawn? What is it? Well, that could come from a past life. That could be the divine at work thinking, okay, I guess we got, I always say bean you on the head because sometimes we really need a shake up. We really need
exactly.
Look, you know, like, okay. If you keep being thrown in the same direction, obviously there's something with it. There's something there. And eventually you'll figure it out. Okay, so you and your husband had a great connection. Your not then husband had a great connection.
We did.
Was he influential in guiding you and in your development? He must have been.
Oh, incredibly so, because he was the teacher in past life regression, and then I went on and I did the what's known as between life spiritual regression, which is based on Michael Newton's model of life between lives regression. I don't know if you've heard about that.
No, I haven't, but I would love to.
Okay, so that's a process where, so basically, you know, past life regression goes back to your past lives and explores your past lives. And also it involves trauma work because there were a lot of psychotherapeutic techniques, you know, that was taught as part of the academy. We could also do trauma work in the past life as well as the current life. Between life spiritual regression, or life between lives regression, which Michael Newton founded or discovered, is a process where you go in between your past life and your current life. So it's a very spiritual place. And we go
I
to that
see.
Place.
It's just a level in between, right? A level in between.
Yes, yes. Where you've planned your current life. So in this space, you know, we can find out things like what your life purpose is at this point in time. We find out things like your soul contracts and.
Yes.
You know, so which is relationships with people, which is what Andy, my husband is Andy. So this is what Andy and I sort of think. We you know, we had a really strong soul contract to be together. And when we met, something sparked in us to sort of remind us about our soul contract, which is why I think
right.
we fit really
it
well.
It was familiar. Or there was something
yes.
familiar.
That's
and you
right.
built upon that. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
I love this.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was an in-between. I mean, I know about past lives, but I didn't know that you actually have something in between. And, you know, we always, you know, right now, we bring things from the past.
That's right.
Sometimes it can be really good things, things that you learned before. And you utilize them now. Sometimes they're not so good. Sometimes it's a learning process. Well, you didn't learn it last time, so you're going to learn it this time.
Exactly right. That's exactly
and, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm kind of, my brain is really working. I'm kind of thinking, well, okay, Natalie, in a past life, look at what you do now. You interact with all these people that you don't really know. You know, I mean, I don't know you. You know, I know a little bit better because we communicated a lot. But
right.
I'm so comfortable at it. So maybe
right.
in a past life, I was supposed to be doing this, but I must not have done it very well, I guess. I don't know.
Or you could have done it really well and brought the talent here.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
Yes. And then... You know, I don't know. I'm very generous to a fault. And I don't know. I always think, well, maybe it was really stingy before. Maybe, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. But how do you ever know what you're bringing forth with you? I guess you have to be regressed. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think, being regressed really helps you because it gives you a lot of clarity. But I think also you know when something is so familiar, when you have that really strong pull, that really strong push, when you're really feeling passionate about something and you have a drive.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like it feels effortless. You know, it doesn't feel like it's work. That's
right.
When you know that's something.
Exactly. It's like when I do the magazine. I've said this before. I'm like up high on a mountain when I'm doing it. I mean, not a throne.
Yeah.
I don't put myself on a throne, but I am up high doing something that I excel at.
Yes.
And I didn't
learn
from anyone. I did not get it from anyone I know of this time. Maybe it came from before. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I brought it with me. Maybe I had a teacher, and this is interesting, and I never thought of this, who saw something in me and wanted me to create. I am creative. I really am. But usually what happens, like when I work with my webmaster, if he doesn't hear from me, sometimes he'll call and he'll say, well, I know those wheels are turning. What do you got in your head now? Because he knows, you know.
Yeah.
But the funny thing and the greatest compliment he's ever given me, and maybe you can interpret this, he said to me, I can't even keep up with you, he said. I said, what are you talking about?
Oh,
he
wow.
said, I can't keep up with you. Sometimes you know, I'm here, right here. Okay, I'm on this page right here. Your page is past me. You have thought about that, and I've moved on to something else to accentuate what I'm doing. And we laughed because him and his fiance, we all went out to dinner. He was laughing. He says, I don't think anybody can keep up with her.
No.
I said, oh, come on. He said, no. You know, but you see, I just told him, I said, you have an area that you learned and you are really good at it. And he said, but you have areas that you're really good at. It's not just one. And I said, oh, my, what a nice compliment. It really, really is when you hear things like that. To me, it's easy.
Yeah, and I think because you're passionate about it. And it sort of comes quite easily, you know. It's clearly something that you've either brought with you, or you know, it's a skill, a soul skill that you have, like an innate soul skill that you have, or it's part of your mission and your plan for this life. And so, you know, you just have it. Yeah.
Yeah, because you know, I now, doing talks like this, I like to call them talks. I really don't like to call them interviews because we're talking. I mean, I'm asking you questions. I have questions here on paper that haven't even looked at because I don't have to. but, you know, I feel there's something familiar with you. Like, I've probably knew you before, Rena.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, there's just something very easy when I talk to you, but it's a great thing because that's how you get a good talk going, is when you don't have to stumble and fumble.
Exactly.
Okay, well now what do I ask her? But okay, so let's get on now. You met your husband, and you of course you married, and then is that when you started to write your first book, or what happened then?
Well, so what happened was we decided to move to the UK. So I always kid with him that, you know, he took me, you know, I moved to a cold climate country from a tropical climate country because of him, so he owes me. But actually what happened was...
And she's never going to let you forget it either.
No, I'm not going to. I'm never going to let him forget it, no.
There you go. That's right. Stand firm.
Exactly. But... You know, it was in the UK, I think it was about my second or third month, and I had just started, I had been practicing in Singapore, past life regression and between lives regression, but, you know, I had to obviously close my business down and sort of restart everything here. So I think it was my second or third month while I was in the UK when I met a person called Mia. Now, this is a pseudonym, because everyone in my books didn't want their real names to be known. So Mia came to me for a between life session. And as part of the between life session, we need to regress. This is part of the process. We need to regress them to a significant past life that their higher mind picks for them, or their last past life. So in her case, you know, she went back to a significant past life, and she ended up being James, the brother of Jesus. Now, as I was sort of navigating this past life, I thought, no, Jesus had a brother. I thought he was like the only son, you know, because
the lonely only. Yeah, no, I knew that. Yeah, okay. But I learned that from being a Catholic, yeah.
Right. And, you know, obviously my friend sort of shared that bit with me, and, you know, and there was the Virgin Mary. So, you know, so anyway, I thought I was a bit flabbergasted with it. But, you know, as a therapist, we learn not to judge the story. We just, you know, facilitate the story, the progress of the story. And so she gave me like a fascinating dip into this world. And I thought, but then my aim of that session was the between life. So we conducted her between lives, and everything sort of fit. And she came out of it. And then she said, oh my goodness, what was that thing with James? And I said, I didn't know Jesus had a brother. So she sort of went off. And then a couple of months later, there was another lady. She was an American lady who was living in Denmark. And she contacted me to do a between life session as well. So, you know, she came through, and her significant past life was Thomas, disciple Thomas. And this was really funny for both of us.
You were being led to do something. You were being led to do something about Jesus and all of that. Yes.
Exactly right. Exactly.
I got that right away. Yep.
Yeah.
Another thump on your head.
Exactly. Now, this one with Mina, so this is her name, her pseudonym, with Mina, she it was quite a funny session, because I didn't know Jesus had a disciple Thomas. She didn't know Jesus had a disciple. So it was just quite, you know, we navigated it as though, you know, everything was flowing quite, and the story flowed quite nicely. And when she came to after the between lives, she went, who's Thomas? And I said, I have no idea who Thomas was. So we pulled up the computer.
You do remember when you do the regression, whether it's the past life or the in-between, you do remember when you come out of it?
Yes, you do. You don't remember the whole, like, you don't remember the details, but you remember the general imprint of it.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you a story. Go ahead. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, so when it's quite significant where you're with Jesus, or, you know, if you go back to a significant past life, you know, of a well-known person, you know, it stays with you a little longer, because clearly, you know, the body goes into a little bit of a shock because you just...
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. So then, and also I started to train in the Past Life Regression Academy. And as part of that training, you know, I went to Australia. I train in the US. I was training in Australia. So people just kept on popping up. All these little snippets of life during the time of Jesus. And in, I think we had 8 that sort of popped up. And so I think it was around the 4th person who, it was Greg, who went back to the life of St. Paul the evangelist. This was when I said, okay, clearly the universe is telling me something. I'm getting thump after thump after thump on my head.
Yep.
You know, so I contacted all of them and I said to them, would you mind if I regressed you? I don't know where this is going to, but I just feel like I have to get your story. So we did multiple regressions per person, and you know, and they were all very open to doing so, as long as I didn't give them their real, you know, I didn't divulge real names,
right?
Which I preferred as well. So I had all this information that, because we had like I said, James, the brother of Jesus, St. Paul, the evangelist, Mary Magdalene, St. Thomas, disciple Thomas. We had Martha, who was Mary Magdalene's sister, and we had Tamar, who is the daughter of Magdalene and Jesus. So we had, like, you know, I had like a whole slew of stories, accounts. And so I had these accounts, and because they didn't fit the narrative, I just thought, okay, I have to do some research to see if these accounts make sense.
Right.
The interesting thing about the accounts is that the only commonality of all these people, because, you know, Tamar was a person in Singapore. Mia was a person in the UK. You know, Mina, who was Thomas, was this American lady who was living in Denmark. So, you know, the only common thread that was holding it all together was myself. They hardly had any, they didn't have any interaction with one another. So, but it was interesting because 80% of their accounts dovetailed, even though it was didn't flow with the mainstream narrative of what happened to Jesus. So that's when I thought, there could be something here. Let me do the research to see if you know, I can get some historical academic backing for the accounts. And so I did for a year. So these accounts basically came to me in about 4 years. And the fifth year, I did the research to back up the accounts. And you know what? I got quite a lot of corroborative academic evidence.
Wow.
For the accounts.
Which must have been pretty pleasing to you. It showed you that you were on the right track. That this was all very legitimate. This was not. This was real. This is real.
And half the time I couldn't believe it. You know, like I would read a book and a snippet would pop up and I go, oh my goodness. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And so I pulled it all together in my first book called Shrouded Truth, Biblical Revelation Through Past Life Journeys. So I published that in 2018. But as I was writing Shrouded Truth as well, I realized that with Mary Magdalene, James, the brother of Jesus, and St. Paul, the evangelist, there were these different types of teachings that were coming up. But I only had glimpses of them when I was, you know, focusing on Shrouded Truth. So I got back in touch with, you know, Maya, who went back to the life of Mary Magdalene, got back in touch with Mia, and got back in touch with Greg. And, you know, I'm so blessed because all three of them, you know, said that they would do more regressions to that same life.
So they shed more light on everything for you because you had more questions.
I did, yes.
You needed more information because you knew the story wasn't done. You knew that.
Exactly. I knew that, yes. And also I wanted to know how the story evolved from what I got from Shrouded Truth to the mainstream narrative because, you know, it was so different. So from the extra regressions, I then authored The Magdalene Lineage, Past Life Journeys into the Sacred Feminine Mysteries, because, you know, she was amazing, you know, as the...
Oh, yeah. I've always felt that about her. I've always felt that she was quite misunderstood.
Yeah, totally. From the mainstream narrative, yes. And, you know, but the way she handled herself, the way she was... I find her story very relatable, but also very empowering because, you know, she went ancient Judea 2,000 years ago. Judea was a very, very patriarchal society and women were seen to be, you know, the possession of men. And so she went through a lot of abuse, you know, while she was, you know, immersed in that culture. But she, you know, with a lot of strength, she left that culture to go and be with Jesus and his followers or his team, right? But in doing so, she was vilified. I mean, she had to let go of everything and she lost, you know, her status, she lost money, she lost her reputation because the people she was involved in the patriarchal society didn't want to lose faith. So so they decided to discredit her instead.
And they did.
And they did. Totally. They did. Totally. And this is according to the account. And then she went and she joined Jesus, and Jesus totally empowered her to shine her light. And just the way she talks about, you know, motherhood, the way she talks about love, the way she talks about conception, she found a different way. I don't know. She didn't find it. I think it was always part of her, but she could talk about it openly. And so she started to teach people, the women in that patriarchal society, about, you know, femininity and being
right.
feminine and you know.
She showed them how to empower
a,
themselves, how to empower themselves.
Exactly,
she showed them
yes,
strength.
But,
she showed them strength because she had all the stuff behind her to back it up, and she knew. Oh, yeah, I've always felt an affinity to her for some reason. I always felt
yeah.
that she was so misunderstood, and she was like, you know, just mistreated, just her name, that she
yes.
wasn't given the respect that she deserved, really.
No, she really
wasn't. And I didn't
learn
that as a Catholic either. Not at all. They didn't, you know, when you're raised a Catholic, it's all about Jesus. That's it.
That's right.
You know, and the rituals, the holy days, and that's all you
yes.
They didn't go into the background, which I wish they always wished, because I had questions. Well, why did that
yes.
happen? Well, why did
yes.
they do that? You know, I mean, they
yes.
were people. They weren't like these
yes.
little entities flitting around in the sky. They were people.
Yes.
They walked on earth.
Yes. Yes.
And that was always so, it always bothered me, because I
yeah.
always thought that she was one of the ones who was misunderstood, totally.
Yeah, and she was very misunderstood. But the other thing that I really liked about her as well is, even though she was, you know, vilified by the you know, the patriarchal culture that she was part of, you know, she had grown up in, she never once said a mean thing about that. She, you know, she never victimized herself, if that makes
mm-hmm.
any sense. You know, she
no,
always
it does.
Showed so much compassion for them as well. And but she also had a lot of internal strength moving forward. And she always
yeah,
said
wrote,
that,
yeah.
you know, she said that, you know, this is about balancing sacred masculine and the divine feminine. It's not about one another putting the other down necessarily,
right.
you know? So
you against me, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
and walking together the same path. It's just different, different senses there. There's just a little, yes, we're different, but yet
yeah.
we're the same common goal, the same common
yes.
goal,
exactly.
which we don't have
which
on
is,
earth today.
No, we don't, but she had it with Jesus. So,
yeah.
you know, she and Jesus basically were the I don't know what you want to call it, but I would call it the ultimate balance of the sacred feminine the sacred masculine and the divine feminine, both
yeah.
within themselves but also together, you know.
Oh,
so
yes.
it's really yeah. So it's really.
So now you have another book coming out, don't you?
I do. Well, before COVID struck. It was supposed to come out in October. I'm not sure how, you know, the whole lockdown would have affected that. But the third book is called Divine Consciousness. And the subtitle is The Secret Story of James, the Brother of Jesus, St. Paul, and the Early Christian Church. And this story basically takes a deep dive into both James and Paul. And it sort of, for me, it answered my question of how the story evolved from, you know, what came out with Shroud of Truth to sort of the mainstream narrative now. How that story evolved via James and how it evolved via St. Paul the Evangelist to how it is now.
Well, you certainly
so,
did not miss your calling, let me tell you.
No.
I mean, it may have taken you a little while to get there, but Yeah, you know, I think we all have backgrounds, so that gives you discipline and teaches you something. And sometimes you think, oh, this is boring. Why am I learning this and all of that?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
As you get older, you realize that it did influence you. And like for me, I mean, I am not stuck in a rut. I'm a very strong woman. But yet I'm not, you know, and I'm not saying I have all these different little weird personalities, but I can really be a defender if I have to. But
yeah.
I think that might be from another life, Rena, because, you know, I told you some of this in email, that I've had dreams of Jesus, and Jesus does not come to you in a dream that often. And
no.
One time it was to get me back up on my feet and know that he was there and that I could do it, because I had went through a very difficult time taking care of someone, and it was horrific. And,
oh, right.
I don't know if I told you, I was in my bathroom. I locked the door and I sat on the floor and just sobbed because
wow.
I was so distraught. I just didn't, I was
right.
almost like at the end of my rope. Can I? You know, I just don't know where to turn. I wasn't getting any help. Nobody was around to help. And I looked down, and I saw his feet, and I saw his robe.
Oh, wow.
And, Rena, I knew it was him. I knew it was him because I stood up without even thinking, and I was
yeah.
good to go. Okay, I've got it. I've
yeah.
got it back. I'm just going to open
yeah.
the door, and I'm going to go for it. And I did. And that never happened to me again. But I've always had this feeling. One time, oh, you got to listen to this one. One time I was in a vehicle, and I was driving, and the window was down. And I was, like, in this huge, it was a farm. There was a lot of, it was a wooded area. And I looked up, and then I looked down, and, again, I saw his feet. He didn't
oh,
have
wow.
shoes on. Now, well, I thought it was some beggar. I didn't know who it was, right? So I looked, and I looked up because I thought, well, who is this person? This is in a dream now. Who is this person coming to me? And he touched my hand, and we didn't talk. He related to me in my mind because he said, you don't know who I am, do you? Or you don't believe who I am. And I was probably saying, no way do I. Who are you? What are you, right? He looked like a beggar. He motioned
yeah.
to the back of the truck, and there were all the apostles walking up, single file.
Wow.
To me. And then he looked back at me. He said, now do you believe me? He didn't say it.
Wow.
It was mental. He did it all mentally.
Yeah.
I will never forget that in my whole life. And that's when I started thinking I was probably around when he was crucified. I've always felt that. I've always felt that I was, because I'm strong. I could see me gathering, come on, people, let's go. We got to stop this. We've got to stop this. This would be me and my big mouth, right? But he stopped me. He said, no, you cannot do this. You will be hurt. I don't want you to do this. Step
right.
back.
Yeah.
Because I was ready to defend him. And I had people
right.
behind me. But it's those two things have always stuck with me. And then I started thinking, well, maybe I was there during that time. Maybe it's not really just something that I've thought about. Maybe I was really there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people say that to me. I'm not very big. But I don't think you want to go toe-to-toe with me. Because that's this inner strength that I have, Rena, that comes out when it needs to. I can be, oh, this is so great. I mean, I can be like that too. Maybe I'm a chameleon. I could be like that too. But then there's a
yeah.
part of me, a defender. You better
yeah.
be careful, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It would
yeah.
be great to regress me, wouldn't it? Oh, God.
Oh, I think it would be fabulous to regress you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I was just thinking, because we have a trained, one of our therapists. I don't know if she's in North or South Carolina. I have to check her out. But, you know, I just feel like connecting the both of you.
Yeah.
And if you want to be regressed, she's the closest person. But, you know, she's had like 3 children. So I don't know if she's... Anyway.
Yeah, do you have to be face-to-face with the person or can you do it on the phone or what?
Well, we used to say, you know, it's better to be face-to-face, but...
Correct.
You know, technology has evolved. And I think, you know, there are ways to do it via Zoom.
Exactly.
But, right. Yeah.
Exactly.
But
Zoom is very popular right now. I mean, you know, I had meetings this time last year with 3 other people because we were going to try to put together something in the city that's out of Savannah and put an event together. And we met on Zoom. And it was really great.
Yeah.
It was really great, an event. It was, you know, we were going to have authors and speakers, you know, to speak. And it was going to be a big event. But what happened was, and I think it was a good idea, they wanted to do it like in September. And I kept saying no. And they said, why? I said, because September and October is the time when we can get hurricanes here in South Carolina. The weather can get really bad.
Right.
It's notorious. Usually it's October, but it can be in September. So they couldn't agree on a date, and then it kind of like, you know, I don't know that they lost interest or whatever, but Savannah would have been a beautiful place for it because Savannah embraces you. It makes you feel like you've been there before. I know I've been there before. That's another place that I just love it there.
Mm,
but
nice.
But anyways, you know, Zoom was really great. I mean, we would have meetings once or twice a week, and it was perfect. It was perfect. So now look at what it's done. I mean, everybody's doing it, I suppose, right?
Yeah, everyone's doing it now.
Yeah. I mean, you can do Skype. You can do a video on Skype. You know, you can do a telecast on Skype. But
I
that
think
was
Zoom's
way
more
back.
Reliable. Yeah.
Well, it is. And
I think
Zoom,
so.
You can just gather more people. That's the
thing. You can, yes.
And I don't think you can do that on Skype that I know of. They might, you know, I've never ventured into that. But, it's really amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Find out where she is. Oh, yes, I would be. There's probably a lot about that time period within me, I think, because Jesus came to me twice. Already.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I'm going to tell you something too, Rena. I've been saved twice in my life. I almost died once in 1982.
Right.
And then, see, you're not surprised at this. And then my son was driving. It would have been a fatal accident. And my son, I saw glass coming at the window and red. And when my son stopped, he said, did you see that? I said, I wanted him to explain. I mean, he's spiritual, but not like I am. I mean, I was already thinking about what it was. And he said, I did not turn that wheel. It turned too much. You know, a wheel in a car, a steering wheel will only turn so far. This one turned so much that moved us out of the way.
Wow.
We were not hit at all. And him and I, we got out, and the guy... that he hit an embankment. I mean, he damaged it. We didn't miss a beat with the car. It was fine. We just went into the ditch. And he said, what just happened? And I looked at my son and I said, if he only knew. We never told him. But my son and I still talk about that this day. He said, Mother, I didn't turn that wheel. It turned for us. I will never forget those few things that happened to me in my life because that was divine intervention. I know it.
Yeah. Totally.
Yes.
You know, in between lives, they say, you know, we come down for a purpose. And, you know, I mean, there is always free will. So, you know, if something is a little bit difficult, people can choose to, basically take, you know, leave or take their lives. But, you know, until we sort of meet that purpose, you know, we kind of hang around because we have a plan.
Yep.
Just that we don't remember the plan when we are in bodies.
Right. Oh, I can only imagine what some of them, I mean, and you can have more than one past life, right? You can, And what about in between?
Yes, you can,
can you have more in-betweens? Is that what they're called, in-betweens, between past life and now just called an in-between?
Yeah, we call them between lives. You can
So,
you know, for each life you have, you can have a between life experience. Does that make sense? But you could potentially have multiple sessions for the one between life before your current life, because, you know, a session, a between life session typically goes for about 4 hours, and there's only so much you can absorb in 4 hours. And, you know, whereas you may have been in between life state for 20 years, or maybe 200 years, you know, I don't know. So you could do more sessions to find out more information about that one between life state.
Well, I know I brought a lot with me. I don't know where it came from, but I know I did. And sometimes, you know, I mean, I talk to Jesus every day, and I'll say, you saved me for something. You saved me for a reason.
Yeah.
There is a purpose, because twice now, especially the first time, I mean, there was nothing that was going to help me. I had a virus.
Right.
Different than what's going on right now.
Yeah.
It took my whole body over, and I couldn't even stand, and there wasn't anything they could do for me except give me, which I'm surprised I haven't done this, gamma globulin to build up my immunities, which maybe I'm putting it out to the universe. They should be doing that. And vitamin B12 plus iron and something else.
Yes.
He gave me something else. Every day I had injections.
Right.
And it took weeks. And I didn't go out, just like we're not going out now.
Yeah.
But the only thing of it was is that it took my life source. I mean, I had no energy. I had nothing.
Yes.
I laid there like I was comatose, but I wasn't.
Yeah.
And I recovered. And I always thought to myself down the road as time went on, and then that near miss accident, and I would always say, I know I'm here for a purpose. If I think back and recognize what happened to me, that, and it's not over yet. I mean, I know, you know. But, you know, So now, when is this next book coming out? I mean, The Shrouded Truth is already out, correct?
Yeah, Shrouded Truth is already out. The Magdalene Lineage came out in March, on the 27th of March. So those two are available on Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Amazon, okay. I'm going to make sure they're in my bookstore, too. I'm going to put them in there so people want to purchase it, they can. Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, sometimes I don't even ask permission. If I interview an author, I'll say, well, it's already there. You did it already? Oh yes, it's there. I don't miss a beat with any of this. But anyways, and
thank
I do want to tell them about your site. It's REENAKUM, like in Mary, ARASINGHAM.com. Go to her site and look over everything that she's got. And I have this feeling, Rena, we're going to do this again. I think there's more to talk about.
Yes.
If you would be so kind. Maybe after this next book comes, the book on Story of James, the brother of Jesus.
Yes.
And, you know, oftentimes, I think sometimes the relatives got kind of pushed to the side because everything was about Jesus.
That's right. Yep. And you didn't realize
what work that they did walking alongside him.
Exactly.
And I love that. I mean, that's right all up my, you know, my most favorite time is Easter.
Right.
You know why?
Why?
It's Easter because it's the colors purple and yellow.
Oh.
I just had this thing about those two colors and Easter. Of course, it's the resurrection, you know, of course. So you see, I have an affinity to Jesus. I just know it. Sometimes, it's when I talk, when I do my meditation, I do meditate every single day.
Right.
You're going to laugh. sometimes it's like a dissertation. Sometimes I'll say, okay, you know, this has got to stop here. We have to change this. If you want me to help, give me some tools. I'll be glad to step in and do it.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Yeah. I'm so funny sometimes. But
yeah.
But I just love you dearly, and we're going to do this again. And do you know when your other book is going to come out? Is it already published? It's just not released or what?
Well, I think you can pre-order, but it says it's going to be out in October, the third book, Divine Consciousness, of this year. But I'm not sure, you know, with COVID, I'm not sure if that release date is going to be, can be met by the publisher. Because I'm not sure, because everyone's on lockdown, and, you know, I don't know how it's going to impact the release date.
Hopefully it's right going now to kind of like subside, like something that's in the air that just moves out to sea. I always keep seeing it moving out. Just move it out. Broom it out. We've had enough. And, you know, I said this today to somebody that I was talking to, and I said sometimes things are like a comeuppance. And I mentioned this last week about this whole thing. It's that it's time to start thinking about people and the world, not about the money.
Exactly.
Sometimes. And she said, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, it's like God can say, I can change this on a dime. I can make this like you can't believe. And I think that's part of it. I think it's like we're stepping back, and we're recognizing what might be a little bit more important to some of us. You and I are not in that. But there are people out there that have a great say in the world. And I think oftentimes they think too much about self, themselves, and about the money. It's time to think about the world as a whole, because we all affect each other. That's how I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
We all affect each other. Oh, I could be on a podium doing a spiritual talk. Don't get me started. But I've loved this. This has been so wonderful. Just so wonderful, Rena. I could pick your brain all day, for hours, because there's so much to Jesus and Mary Magdalene. I mean, she's one of my faves. She really has always been.
Yeah.
And that's my middle name is Mary.
Oh,
and,
I didn't know that.
Yes, my middle name is Mary.
And I don't know, but I'll just give you a little snippet. But do you know that there is a big cathedral in the south of France where they say that they've got some of her bones in the cathedral, in the crypt
The
cathedral? No, it's in the book. It's a place called Saint-Baume, because she passed away in a cave in the south of France, I think it's about a 2-hour drive or maybe 3-hour drive from the cathedral. So I went to the cathedral, and, you know, we went to the cave as well, and it is a spectacular, spectacular place to visit if anyone is in France, or if anyone loves the story of Mary Magdalene. It's well worth
a visit. Oh, I would love that. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I would be in heaven, pardon the pun, but I would really love it. I would really love. I love to learn about that, because it was real. It's real. And sometimes people will think, well, oh, you know, no, that, you know, they're just, those are just names. But they were people that walked the earth.
Exactly.
You have to remember that.
They
trials and tribulations. They all had things that they went through until they encountered Jesus. And then their life took a different path. Then they realized who they really were, I think. I really do.
And I like how relatable they are, because I say that they are ordinary people who did extraordinary things, which means we, as ordinary people, can also choose to do extraordinary things with discipline and with, you know, with passion. And if we are called to do something, we can all do it. So that's why I like these stories, because so relatable. It's so relatable.
Yes. Well, I can't wait to read the rest of your books. I think I might have one of them. I'm not sure. I'll have to check in my... You should see all these books that I have. Yeah, I mean, usually what happens is that when I connect with somebody who's got somebody that they think might be great to interview, or talk with, I'll get the book.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I mean,
yeah.
I have hundreds and hundreds because I've been doing this for, well, I've been doing interviews like this for about 3 years now. I used to do topics, believe it or not, I had a co-host, and we would do topics about angels and archangels and all of that.
Right.
And it was fascinating. I learned so much, and I'd have guests come on, but this I just do myself now, and I really love it. And I'm so glad we connected, and we will do this again.
I'm so glad too. Yeah, I'm going to drop Gavin a big thank you for this.
Oh, you know, he'll send these notes to people. Oh, you got to be on her show. Oh, you have to be on her show. He calls me the star, S-T-A-R.
Yeah,
I said, oh, Gavin, I'm not the star. Yes, you are. He said, you are so angelic. You are, because
yeah.
He's listened to the shows. He said to me, I would never get somebody to come on your show if I didn't think you could handle it, if I didn't think you were good enough, if I didn't think that you'd put out the very best. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like a PR person.
but he's phenomenal. You know, he's so, like, he gives hope. He's like, he sprinkles hope. Oh, I love him.
Oh, yeah.
I love Gavin.
Oh, yeah. And I'm gonna send him the link to this because we're done here, I send it off to Twitter, and then it'll go to Facebook, and I did follow you on Instagram.
Oh right, okay, I have to follow you back.
And I sent you a message. I said it's me, Natalie. You'll see
oh,
when
right.
you go on your
Yeah, I have to go in.
You go.
Instagram.
You'll see.
But,
you'll see.
Could send me an email of the link as well so I can put it on Facebook and Instagram and everything as well.
Oh, and I want to tell you, I saw what you wrote. It was just, it just touched my heart that you were so excited to talk to me and X's and O's. And, it was very special for me. Yes, I will send it to you an email. You'll have it. Absolutely.
Thank
no
you
doubt.
So
I'll send
much.
It to you as soon as we're done here. And I want to thank you again for this opportunity and everybody that's listening or it's going to listen because this is recorded and they can listen to it at any time. We will have Rena on. I will have Rena on again. We'll talk about her next book and we'll talk more on reincarnation. And I think once Rena's through talking to me, the wheels are going to start turning and she's going to be thinking, who is this Natalie? What is she? Who is she?
I'm already starting to think that.
Yes. Who is she really?
Yeah.
So we'll do this again. Yeah. And, of course, we'll communicate an email. I'm not going to let you go.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I don't want to let. No, I want to keep in touch with you as well. And thank you so much for having me and for, you know, because it's like having a chat with an old friend over a cup of tea and some cake.
That's what I wanted.
So thank you.
That's what I love to hear. That's what it should be. It's not this like being on a TV show and they've got this prompt of saying, okay, ask this, ask that. No. I talk.
No.
We talk.
Yeah.
We talk.
Yeah, we
yes,
do.
Yes, I'm so glad
so
you had a great
so
time.
Much.
And I love
I
you
did.
Dearly. And
I
will send
you
look for my email. I'll send you the link as soon as it's posted, and then you'll have it. You can let everybody. And, you know, I'm hoping people listen because I saw your little thing about it. And but they can always listen to it at a later date because it is on the site on Blog Talk Radio /StarsCast. It is there.
Okay.
All of the shows are there, all 100 and some that I've done. So, yeah. You have a great rest of the day. And I will,
Maddie.
Too. And I love you dearly, Rena. You're just very special
too.
To me.
Oh,
okay, talk to you soon.
As are you. All right, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
If everyone could be who they were really meant to be without